Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for another opportunity together. Lord, in a world that's so full of hate and despair, Lord, we have peace. Lord, in a world where they're spiritually dying, Lord, we have Your precious Word of God. We're so thankful this morning, Lord. We just ask You to intervene this morning, Lord, and have Your way in everything that's said and done. Lord, may these vessels be out of the way, Lord, and let Your glory and honor shine this morning. Lord, and let the Word shine upon our hearts this morning, and let it sink deep, Lord. We ask and pray. That's our greatest desire. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Page 354, You Only Believe. Amen. I have a sword of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. That only His redeemed can know. Amen. Thankful for that. Page 333. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than have let Him lead. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 27 in our little capstone books. Amen. Give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. Amen. Oh, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, amen, Satan has to flee. Oh, we've got the power in the name. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got the you. We are nothing, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the
In the name of the Lord.
Amen. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Hallelujah. By His mercy and His grace. Amen. You may be seated. We ask Brother Amos to come if you would. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly an honor and a privilege to serve you, Lord. Oh. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for the price you paid. Lord, it's already been paid. We thank
yes.
you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for this opportunity once more to gather around your precious word. Lord, we pray as your word comes forth that our hearts and minds be able
yes.
to receive what you have for us. Lord, may it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, as we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, let it be used for the building of that kingdom. May all that's said and done be for thy glory and honor. We pray in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about his love this morning. Amen. Oh, think about his love. Yes. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace.
That has brought us through.
High as the mountains. Amen.
Or as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Love is great. Amen. Who has a need upon her heart this morning, brother, raising her hand? Just keep it before him as we ask Brother Settles if he'd take the request.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful, Father, we come before you.
Yes.
Lord, with confidence and assurance.
Amen.
The Lord in your word you've spoken and given to us, understanding. Lord, knowing, Father, that no matter what need may arise,
yes.
Father, maybe a sickness or whatever it may be
yes,
that's hindering us, Lord, from serving you and doing your will on this earth. Lord Jesus, you paid the price and met every need we would have. So, Lord, I just pray, Father, that in every heart, behind every hand that was raised, Lord, you would increase that faith.
Yeah.
Reach out
yes.
and claim what is ours, what you've already done. Lord, we truly want to thank you for it. Give you the praise, Lord. May we not fail to glorify
Amen.
Your name amongst all.
Yes.
Lord, that you are a healer, provider.
Amen.
Lord, we love you so much. Bless the service, Lord. Remain. Ask that you would get the glory and honor out of everything. We ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a song they want to sing this morning, a special? Anyone at all? No? I ask you to come.
Every day with fiery trials and tests, we are faced.
We will be faced.
Who will rule us in decisions that we make?
In decisions that we make.
Which means more to me. Christ the Word, or having my way. Which is greater,
heaven
or the senses of this flesh? How much value does heaven hold to me? Am I living for this present time or for eternity?
Eternity.
These temporal things I touch and see and feel must pass away, but heaven's values are eternal.
They're eternal.
They're worth dying for to me. The hardest things may come our way to see just what we'll do.
What will we do?
To see if we're earthbound or if heaven's in our view.
Is heaven really in our view?
Will we stop and reason then, do what we want to do? We'll be tested to see just what we place value on each day. How much value does heaven hold to me? Am I living for this present time or for eternity?
Eternity.
These temporal things I touch and see and feel must pass away, but heaven's values are eternal.
They're eternal.
They're worth dying for to me. It's worth my life,
my love,
my all. It's worth dying for to me.
Amen. So stand. Sing that little chorus, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow," as we ask our pastor to come. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I
Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, again we want to say thank you, Lord, as we always do, because we are very appreciative in our heart that you give us this opportunity to be here and to be able to gather around your precious word. And Lord, may these precious songs that we've sang, Lord, and we've listened to, that Father, truly may it be a reality in our hearts. That Father, where you lead me, I will follow. If Lord, we can just really truly find that place in you, oh, how much better off we would be, Lord. So we ask today that as we go back into the word, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would make that word more real in our hearts. That Lord Jesus, we could be better servants for you and be a people, Lord, that be yielded and truly let you have a preeminence in our hearts and our lives. That it could be declared to this nation and to this people that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you again now, Lord, and we pray that you'll just open our hearts is our desire. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't you love him? Amen. So precious. Let's turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me again, to the book of Revelation, the second chapter, and we'll go back in a little message we was on last Sunday. And we titled it Christ-Centered Life. Amen. And I trust by the Holy Spirit it will help us to this will be of a greater importance to us in our life, you know, and truly let Jesus Christ live. All right, let's read here again and begin the first verse of Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, now listen to that, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Now, listen again, after all these things that God noticed that we've done, that was good and right, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise, in the midst of the paradise of God. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Now, we expounded on that quite a bit last Sunday, but just to kind of refresh our minds, just to bring our attention back to something the prophet talked about in the scripture of how that, you know, God noticed all these wonderful works. He knowed our works and labor, and like Brother Branham said, just labor like a mule, you know, do things for God and do what's right for God. And he said, patience, you know, it's endured and cannot bear them which are evil. You can't stand that evil, wicked ways, and it just makes you sick. You know, you go out in the world and see all the filth and trash going on and things happening today. You just can't bear it, you know, and you can't bear it when it comes in and wants to try to take you away from the Word. You just can't bear it. Yeah, you can't stand it, and you'll not put up with it. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. If Oftentimes, as we realize, different men have come in with different ideas and theories and things contrary to the Word of God, and placed the Word of God on it and found out they were liars. Some found out to be false anointed ones and different things. And has borne and has patience. We've borne, we've carried one another's burdens. We've helped each other and loved each other and helped each other through different things in life. And has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. I haven't give up. You know, many give up and just say it's no use. No use of me trying, and just might as well quit. But we have not fainted. We've remained true. Okay? And he says, nevertheless, though, for all these good things you have done and good deeds that you do, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, he said. Now think of that. After him just saying all these things of doing good and doing right and holding and not fainting, and then to say, I have somewhat against you. Because thou hast left thy first love. That's what we want to talk about today. That first love. And just what it means. And how important is this for people that to them Jesus Christ is truly 100% honestly their first love in reality. Not with our lips, but in reality. You know, we hear many people, they can sing and they can boast in what they've done in Christ, and different things can happen and they can be healed and receive different blessings in life. But where is the heart? Is their first love? Is their first love Jesus Christ, the Word? So let's go back into this little subject and read some things. And first I want to read St. John 14 before we get into reading some quotes here. We'll read some scripture. St. John 14, and we'll read the 23rd to the 24th verse. You know, people in an hour and such a corrupt age in which we live in, people have a whole different view of what love is. You know, to what the world, you know, what they call love or think love is actually pretty sickening, you know. You know, when they talk about a man, they fall in love with their so wife-to-be and so forth, and they may have a great affection for them, and they feel that, my, this is the one and everything. And then once they go to bed, then it's all over with. Love ends. That's the filth of the world. When a flesh desire is met, love ends. And this begin to be the real theme of what this world calls love. They have no idea what love is. They don't have even a close idea what love is. Because love, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love thinketh no evil. It findeth not. So it's not puffed up. It's and it endures all things. Think of that. That's what love is. You know. But people in the world have this idea what love is, and it's just affection and hanging on to somebody and kissing them and smooching on them and being filthy. Not under marriage. They think that's love. That's a sick head. That's a sick life. It's a life of ungodliness and impurity. Fornication. Lasciviousness. It's sick. And just to think of all the millions of people on this earth that call that love, they don't have a clue. But let's read what the Word of God says here. 23rd verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, He will keep my words. Now we're talking about love. It's love for God. He will keep my words if he loves me. I just think of the people that's claiming to be Christians. Preachers behind pulpits and saying they love God. Singing groups get up and sing about all this love for God and everything, and no more obeying his word than anything. And they call that they love God because they sing, because they preach, because they've done something good for somebody. They call that love. But we're going to find out what a real first love really is. There's so many, even Christians, don't know what love is. You say, how could you stand so firm as to say that? Because their life proves it. You know? But if you really love him, we'll find out what the word says happens. If we really love him. Like I say, it's easy. You know, words, as the old saying is, words are cheap. Ain't that the truth? A person can say anything and he can do anything, you know, and say things that's so boastful, and he can say things that makes everything sound so good and so right and be telling a lie all the time he's doing it. It's just so cheap to do that. There's no price that has to be paid for it at the time being. There's a price to come when it comes to having to stand before God in judgment. But when it's just to be living everyday life and things going on, it's so cheap to say so many words. But don't forget, you'll give an account for every idle word that proceeds from your mouth. Yeah. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Okay? And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Yeah. Christ will come in and make his abode with you. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, or keepeth not my word. You see? So we can sit here today and know whether we love God or not. Even though we may kneel down on our knees and begin to pray and say, I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. And we might sit at the dinner table and we say our blessings for our food. And we say, we love you, Lord Jesus. And we may go along and find somebody else we talk to along the way and witness to them. Oh, I love the Lord Jesus, you know. And just think how sad that is. For the human race to be that, how could I say it, ignorant. To knowing there's a great almighty God that one day all things will be given account for. Everything. And then to sit there and act as though he doesn't know really what I am. That I can say that and he receives it and he just gets joy over it. And just think, though, how close he made it to where all these good things you could do. Yeah. My, stay with this word and stay with that word and stay with this word and stay with that word. And yet he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. Wow. That's powerful, you know. It's something that people can't realize what they're doing today. And I'm trusting that by going into the Word and renewing our minds back to the Word, we'll not be caught up in that trap. But we'll be a people that truly knows what loving God is in reality, and our lives show it that we really love God. And he is truly our first love. That he's the most and first important in our life above anything else. You may hear me say that and say, well, Brother Steve, but I've got to have a job and I've got to work and I've got to have a family and my needs have got to be met. That's not your first love. But people make that their first love. Because to them, that's their most important thing in their life. Instead of finding the will of God and doing what the Word said to do. Now, if I choose that over what the Word said, what is my first love? Huh? Pretty simple. We may not want to face facts and reality, but what is our first love? Yeah. Let's go on. Let's read Mark 7 chapter, and we'll read 6th to the 8th verse. Mark 7. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will dip these things in your heart, because I can't. But the Holy Spirit can. If we sit here today and open our heart and say, He's talking to me. And He's not talking to one beside of me. He's talking to me. Yeah. I've seen people make that mistake so many times. You get out, you get them preaching a message, and you go outside, and boy, brother, son's going to sure needed that. And that word was aimed right at them. But yeah, brother, so-and-so needed that. I'm going to tell you what, everyone who's sitting here today need this, and I need this. I'm not going to leave a one of you out, because everyone, you see, yeah, but this person ain't right with God, and they're doing this. But what are you doing? Is everything you're doing perfect with God? Everything just exactly the way God said to do it? Then let's talk about this first love. What's most important, you see? All right, he says in 6th verse, he answered and said unto them, well hath Uzziah prophesied, you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. Now, if you look up in the original Greek, it says, consider of great value. And I don't really know of anybody in here, at least there'd be very few if there is, that wouldn't consider our Lord Jesus Christ of great value to us with our lips. We sing about it. We talk about it. We even think about it. Yeah. And I'm sure we consider Him of great value to us. You see? You honor me with your lips. But their heart. Now let's break that down a little bit. It's the soul. It's not that massive muscle that has arteries and veins in it that's pumping in your chest. But your heart, which is the soul, it is the passions, the drive, the ambition, is far from me. Now let's make it of worth what it needs to be made. Okay? So we don't have an organ called a heart in your chest pumping. But your ambitions, your drives, your desires. He said, it's far from me. You know, and you've seen people, their ambition and drives is their home. And it shows up in their ambitions and drives. It shows up in their desires. Some other material thing. Shows up as their ambition, their drive, their force, what's pressing them. When's the last time people seen in your life Jesus Christ pressing you? Driving you? Your greatest ambition? When's the last time people saw that in you? Because you go to church 3 times a week, they see it? No. Because you pray and you mention you love the Lord Jesus Christ? No. But every decision and action in life has proven you stay with that word. Yeah. When's the last time, I ask you, that this nation and this people saw that in you? That everything, it just comes along. They may talk about a television show it was on, or some filthy thing on the internet, or something like that. Did you see that? No, I don't do that. And I have no desire for it. My desire is to serve Jesus Christ. When's the last time people saw that in you? Or did you laugh along with it? And, yeah, oh, I seen that. Oh, my, isn't it terrible? This, that, and getting all involved in that filthy conversation. When's the last time people saw that ambition and drive and force and control in your life? Remember, it has to be declared to this nation and to this people. Yes. The first love. Now remember, we came here this morning, as the prophet would say, to find our short places. That's what we're here for. And we trust it by the Holy Ghost. We will find our short places and by the grace of God have something inside that He placed on the inside to overcome that. You see? And as I said here a couple weeks ago, I'll repeat it again. And as you sit here and listen to me as I read these words and we talk about these words and exhort upon them, God does not expect you to line up with this without the desire He places in your heart. So whatever He does or requires, He gives you, the individual, that which it will take to meet the requirement. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. That's why, as Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Now things begin to change when the Holy Ghost comes in. There's a change of desire. You see? There's a longing to do the things that God wants you to do. You see? As a little example, you know, we may sit here and we may desire something in the world. We may desire listening to filthy, ungodly music. It's just terribly, just filthy. Yeah. By God's grace of being an example and a product of a change of nature, I once desired those things. But by a change of nature, now I hate those things. Want nothing to do with it. It's filthy. It's ungodly. It turns people's thinking into the wrong way of thinking. But by grace and mercy, the desire is changed. That's what happens to the individual in their life. As I told a little story one time, when I first started driving, and at that time I still had the desire for country music. Just seemed like that's what I liked, you know. Even though something still was pecking on the inside, there was a God somewhere, and I know that I was to serve Jesus Christ and this, that, and the other, still that desire was there. And at the time when the Holy Ghost really began to deal with my heart, just something spoke to my heart. Not a lot of a voice. When I was going down the road one night, and it was dark, and it was out in the country, and it was just pitch dark. And the old truck quit running. I was all by myself. I thought, oh, what am I going to do? No cell phones then. No. No. What am I going to do? And something began to speak to my heart. You empty that cassette. It was old 8-tracks back then. Some of you young ones don't know what an 8-track is. But there's 8-track in there. So you pull that out. And you gather all of them up in his truck and throw them out the window over the bank. And I'll get you home. That was one of my experiences. And of course, I broke down. I said, Lord, that's you. I was tore up. I began to clean the truck out. Got all those cassette tapes. Rolled down the window and throwed them out. And the old truck fired right back up and never had trouble with it again. But it was just something God dealt with my heart, began to deal with my heart about, to let me know it wasn't pleasing to Him. Because it led to senses and flesh, sin, corruption. Mama left Daddy. Daddy left the children. Mama tried to kill husband. All this nonsense of filth and corruption. Yeah. They call it country music. It's sick music. It's sin and corruption. It's ungodliness. But again, God doesn't expect you to serve Him without Him giving you what it takes. So don't you never forget that. Okay? He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Uzziah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men." People still do it today. "Holding the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do." And you get preachers behind pulpits and they tell you it's okay to do this and it's wrong. They tell you it's okay to cut your hair, you women, and it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not wrong. They tell you it's okay to wear makeup and earrings and all that garbage. No, it ain't right according to God's word. No. But men tell you, they'll do what the men say do. They'll come up with some kind of creed or idea that's contrary to what that scripture or prophet said, but they'll hold to that. Oh, they'll hold to it as strong as they can, even though they're nothing but in sin and corruption and dying and in death. They'll hold to it. Yeah. But to give it to Jesus Christ and His word and His fullness of His word? No. But yet with their lips, while they listen to that man tell them their creeds, and that this is the way you believe it, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it has to be, and they'll listen to that, and they'll hold right to that, they'll have the same lips who'll say, "I love you, Lord Jesus." In vain do they worship Him. Holding to the commandments of men. See? So where is our first love? Where is people's first love of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands that's even known the prophet came and know the message? Where is their first love? The word will tell you where it's at. Again, you never have to wonder, never have to guess, never have to try to figure out once the word gives you the answer. Yeah. Whether it comes down to our own personal life or many other lives. You see? And remember this morning, saints, I'm here by the grace of God to try to get you in, that you will have eternal life and live for Jesus Christ and not burn in a lake of fire, that so many people cannot believe it's real. But it is real. In Christ, Mystery God Revealed, to renew your minds back to this. July 20th, 1963, paragraph 131. He said, "He is the thing." I hear he's the sinner, friends. He is the thing. He was the prophets. Yes. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He's the center focus point, friends. He was the history. Yes. And He is the things to come. He still is today the center point. And He is to be that place that we are to focus on completely without distraction, without any. The things to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, if you're writing it down, he should be. Then he should be the principle. Again, the principle is the first and most in importance. If he's that, and if that's what he is, and we believe it, don't we, he says, and the congregation says, amen, you know. Then if he is that, I said, if he is that, if we claim that he is that to us, all right, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. Yeah. He should be the principal theme of our life. First, the center point, and most important in our life. Now I stand here, but you sit there today. But we all are included in this. Him searching the reins knows our hearts, knows our very thoughts. He already knows what is most important to us in our life. He knows what we give over most to and what we think about it. He knows of His word that He has gave forth. His commandment come forth, ye do this, ye do that. Thou must do this, thou shalt do this and that. And He knows what comes up in our life that turns us from being able to fulfill that word. So He knows what's most important. Yeah. He knows whether it's at home, lands, job, family, maybe children. Yeah. Maybe being able to obtain or be able to be a part of events in the world. Whatever it may be. He knows what is most important in our life. Bar nothing else, He knows exactly what we think, what our feelings is, what our ambitions is, what our drive is. He knows what it is, you see? Cannot hide it. He sees and He knows everything about it. Okay? He knows, as I said, what word He gave forth and what little thing comes up in life that keeps us from doing that. What comes up in our life to keep us being led of the Spirit of God? What comes up in life that keeps me having my mind centered upon His will? Lord, what would you have me to do today? What is your desire for me to do today? What is there a certain thing you want me to do today? Is there a place you want me to go? Is there somebody you want me to talk to? Is there something I should do for my wife? Or is there something I should do to show my children? Should I take the time now and sit down with my children and pray and read the word with them? Huh? Should I take that time to do that now? Or I'm going to go fishing first. I'll go hunting first. I'll go to the fair first. I'll go to the museum first. What is the most important thing in our life? Can He deal with your heart and say, no, I don't want that right now? And you've got all these plans set up for it and everything. You've got it all lined up and everything's just going, it's going to be right for you. But did you seek His will? Did you seek His will? Now, wait a minute. Who's the most important one in your life? Do we go ahead and make our decisions and plans of what we're going to do? And I'm going to do that regardless of what even begins to nudge my heart. I'm going to do this because I've planned for this for 6 months. I've planned for this. And this is what I'm going to do. And you really think Jesus Christ is your first love? Well, brother, if I lived like that, I couldn't do anything. There's a lot of people down through years that's never been able to do much of anything because of what God's will was in their life. You wasn't born for all these other things. You was born to do the will of God. Yes. That's what you was born for. You wasn't born for all these pleasures in life. No. It's a little extra blessing if we get to. But is it God's will? But do we have our mind made up? This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to have. This is the automobile I'm going to own. Huh? God knows our hearts. You see? God knows I'm going to do this for my grandchildren, regardless of what His word says. God knows I'm going to do this for my, He knows I'm going to do this for my mother and dad regardless of what He thinks about His word or what He tells me. I'm going to do this for my mother and dad. I'm going to do this for my wife regardless what the word says. I promised her. That's where you went wrong the first time. It should have been if the Lord will and if I live, He shall tarry. I shall do this. Who is our first love? Now, God knows if we sit there and these things bother us, He knows whether it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like hearing these things. If it's uncomfortable to you, you need the new birth. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You see? Then that desire changes. And this will be your longing, your hunger. You see? In absolute, March 4th, 1963, I'll read this again. I'll go on something different now. Now, Paul here, we see he had an absolute that he held to all his life after his conversion. There it is. After his conversion. The change of desire happened. That was Christ, a Christ-centered life. And you can read the scripture and find out how Apostle Paul's life was completely centered on Jesus Christ after his conversion. It used to be centered on destroy the Christians. Stop this nonsense. They should follow us, be like us Pharisees and Sadducees, and hold to the law of Moses. What is this religious following Jesus Christ thing anyway? Destroy it! That was Paul's ambition and drive at one time. But you could see plainly his ambition and drive after his conversion. It was all about Jesus Christ. Completely. His whole life centered upon it. So centered upon it that it caused him to be put in jail many times. Caused him to be beaten. Yeah, bruised. Yes. But nevertheless, he still loved Jesus Christ first. Above everything. To the point that even those in prison with him seen that Jesus Christ was first and most important in his life. As him and Paul, or Paul and Silas, begin to sing praises in prison. And the place was shaken with a great earthquake until they were all loosed. The prison bars fell to where even the jailer come. And he thought, oh no, if these people escape, I'm a dead man. He went to go try to kill himself. And Paul stopped him. After Paul got done with him, his whole house was saved. Now think of it, friends. A Christ-centered life, what it can do. When you're able to truly follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The lives that can be saved if you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And what a place to have an absolute, a Christ-centered life. Now, if you said in your life you have an absolute, you do things ordinarily you would not do, especially if you have a God-centered life. You do things you ordinarily wouldn't do. Yeah. That's when maybe you've got a plan to go on vacation, and all of a sudden, whoosh, it's gone. I don't know if you've ever had that happen or not, but I know all about it. Yeah. It's gone. The Lord leads you to do something different because maybe something needs said or something needs to be done that's to His glory. But have you got your mind made up? I done told them I was taking that week off and I'm going where I'm going. Are you really? And God couldn't change that, huh? Well, I'm here to tell you today, He ain't your first love. By no means. You don't know what a life led by the Holy Spirit is. Yeah. I'm not saying it should be changed. I'm just saying, could He change it? Or do you even hear that still small voice? That nudge on the inside, that ambition and drive to do His will. Do you even feel that? Maybe he's planning on your wedding is set for this date. You think so, huh? Maybe your little honey you was to marry is led by the Spirit of God. And he's seen he must make a trip to help somebody first. After all that preparation, it's going to happen, brother. Oh, is it really? Who's your first love? You say, "Oh, Brother Steve, that's strange things." God has done many, much more strange things than that in leading people by the Holy Spirit. But today it seems foreign to be moved and led by the Spirit of God to change our menus, to change places we go, to change our decisions. We don't want a life like that because we want our own life that I've worked so hard for and strived for and set things up for. If you can't listen to Him, you're no good for Him.
Amen.
No good for Him. For He predestined the people to have a preeminence of completely. You see? Let's go on. In the complaint of God in the church age book. And cursed is any minister that takes this book away. Let him be accursed. As Apostle Paul said, if any man or even an angel come from heaven and say something different, I've already said, let him be accursed. I say today that any minister that stands behind a pulpit and takes this book away, let him be accursed. Page 88. Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints at Ephesus alone. This message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Its message, then, is to all the generations in that span. Now history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see a revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to apostolic succession. It isn't in the Word. You start out with truly born-again believers. When the next generation comes along, they're no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name and are now Baptists, Methodists, what man's ideas. Yeah. That is exactly what they are, too. They are not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. I wonder if some of us ever reached the place that He was our first love. But here's talking about people that it was once on fire for God. Was listening every moment for that still small voice. They was every moment searching the Word to find their short places in their life to be more like Jesus Christ. There was burning desire strongly and fervently to express Christ in their life. To not miss one word. To not disobey one word. Not one. Now people don't care if they disobey 10 words and 50 and 120 and still out of their mouths say, "I love Jesus most of all." It's the age we're living in, you see. The fervent desire to please God. The passion to know His Word. The cry for reaching out in the Spirit all begins to fade Has any of that faded? A fervent desire to please God, to obey every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. The fervent desire. Fervent means to, I think I wrote it down. Yes, very hot and zealous. Yes. To please God. Are we really zealous and very white hot to do what God wants us to do? Or it's just, I'm going to try. That's what you hear most of today. I'm going to try. I heard the preacher preaching, so I'm going to try. I want to be like that. I'm going to try. Oh my. It's more than trying when it's a fervent desire. It's, Lord, I'm going to reach that or I'll die. Yeah, desperation comes in. Yeah. He says here, the passion, the intense drive. It's intense. Strong. Intense drive to know His Word. Wow. That's what works when we even come to service. There's an intense drive to know what that Word is. It's powerful. It's strong. You feel you got to have it or else. Intense drive. And it drives you and forces you to be there to listen to the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to know what Christ has for you in your life. Is there an intense drive to get to the shop and to make money? Oh my. What's your intense drive? Is your intense drive to keep that home just perfect? Everything just so-so? This is your intense drive to get your children involved in things they shouldn't be involved? Is it an intense drive to do what your wife wants when she's not in the Word? Well, brother, you don't understand. I just want her to be happy so she won't be nagging on me. So that's your drive. So that's what you hold to. Wow. It's like the wrong kind of drives somewhere. Well, I couldn't lay this down right now because it just ain't going to happen. What is your drive? Jesus Himself said, if you can't forsake everything, you're not worthy of Him. But we take those words and we throw it clean out the door, showing Jesus Christ isn't our first love. Listen to the ones that had their excuses. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to try them. You have no part with me. I've bought land and I must go check it out. You have no part with me. He that can't hate father and mother for my sake is not worthy of me. Tell me who that first love is supposed to be. The reason you can't see it because you don't have it revealed to you. And the only way it can become a reality is it become revealed to you. That it's not just scriptures you talk about. You've heard read and preachers talked about it. But it's got to be revealed to you. Then, and only then, can that word be made manifest in your life. Who is the most important in your life? We so easily take these other things and let them become more important. And we don't realize what we're doing. Why can't we see it? But you know what? That's why we're here today. Yes. That's why He gave you 5-fold ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, to come to the unity of the faith, and the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's why He did it. You see? Yeah, the men that He chose don't sometimes like doing the job. But they know that's what they've been sent for. You see? They know it cuts, and know it hurts, and it knows it displeases people, and it makes them unsatisfactory, or have an unsatisfaction and different things. But has to press on. There's a goal that God has set and it must be reached. We must finish this course. You see? He said, instead of the church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. That is what's happening back there in the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment, or in other words, a place in a person's life of being controlled and influenced by God, was dying out. Yeah. The abandonment to God was dying out of the people and weren't too careful about what God thought of them. They weren't too careful anymore what God thought about them. If he tells me not to go on vacation, I don't care about what God thinks about me. I'm going anyway. I'm just using that for an illustration. But all these things are decisions we make in life. I can stand up here and make all kinds of decisions we make in life. But I don't care what it is, friends. What is most important to you in your life? But I've got this plan, brother. I'm building this. I'm buying this. Really? Are you sure? God may change it. God may change it. No wonder Brother Branham said, as I mentioned it Thursday night, you know, yeah, even Sister Mita didn't understand Brother Branham most of the time. And she said, like he said, I don't understand you, Bill, why you do these things. He said, I don't expect you to understand. He said, when the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you to do things, most people won't understand. It looks so strange. It looks so odd. Why, you're planning on doing a certain thing, and just all of a sudden, oh, that's out. And something's crying out in your heart to go pray. Oh, my. Is as important as that was? Oh, as important as it may seem to have been, but it's all temporal. And it's going to pass away. Yeah. Again, who is our first love? In reality. He said, begin to be careful about what the world... Let's back up. They weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they begin to be careful about what the world thought of them. Oh, if I wouldn't do this now, look what my buddies on the job would think about. They'd think I was crazy. I talked about it for 6 months, doing this, that, and the other, or buying this and doing this and going this place, and all of a sudden... I say, why didn't you go? We're ashamed, and we'll say, well, I just felt like I didn't want to go. Why didn't you just tell them? I didn't feel led of the Holy Ghost to do it. Why do you have to be ashamed? Who do you love most? Jesus Christ or this world? Are you more concerned about the world thinks about you? That second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king, in other words, a man, to lead them, to be like other nations. When they did that, they rejected God. But they did it anyway, and that is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world, yeah, instead of conforming to God. It isn't long until you see them stop doing things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. And that's what you see today throughout the land. Things that years ago people wouldn't do, but now they would do it. Yeah. Now they would do it. Years ago, when they first heard a prophet about talking about a television and all the filth and trash on it and get rid of it and all this and that, oh, they was zealous and bang, they done it. And Satan slides all this other electric devices in the home, and now we would do it. Initially, we wouldn't. Amen. Initially, we wouldn't do it. But he slides it in anyway. Yeah. Things we wouldn't initially done, and now we do it. And look at the many things we wouldn't have initially done, but we do now. And some call it, yeah, but I had a man tell me to do this and not to do this and this and that. Oh, I'm free now. Okay? You're going to free yourself from the Word? Oh,
my pastor don't tell me and make me do this, this, and the other anymore. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But is it the Word? Huh? Yeah, you may not have a man now with a rule, iron rod sticking it down on your neck and making you not do this, not do that. But one thing about it, we have the opportunity now to surrender to Jesus Christ and let Him be the rule of our hearts. Now you'll show who you are. Yeah. They changed their manner of dress. What do you think this message bunch of people are dressing like they are, these women now? They changed their manner of dress. They wouldn't have done that before. But this modern age, they want to get as close to the world as they can. Brother Branham, I was listening to him this morning. He said, even our sisters are nothing but prostitutes, the way they're dressed. Oh, called his own sisters prostitutes. Yeah. They changed their manner of dress, their attitudes. Attitudes is different. Yeah. In many things, friends. I remember the attitude years ago, friends, when it was white hot and began to hear this message and this was their everything, my men sold out and moved and done all kinds of things and moved from this job so they could be at church and all this other things. Of course, you always had the one slacking behind, wouldn't do what, you know, the Holy Ghost was leading to do. But here, you know, they was just really on fire and just doing whatever they could to be there and listen to the Word of God. Not anymore. Not anymore. That's more important. This is more important. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. What's your first love? Friends, as I said a little bit ago, I'm here somehow by grace to get you in. And what will get you in is going to hurt the flesh. It's going to be against flesh. It's not going to be easy. But as he said, nobody said a Christian walk with Christ was a bed of roses. No. Look what men and women has gone through in the past, down through the ages, to hold the truth that none of us has even come close to. None of us. But yet we want to call ourselves the children of God, the believers of the end time. And none of us has went through what others have been through to stay true and remain white hot for God. May the Holy Ghost talk to your heart. Oh, hallelujah. I can't do these things to myself, friends. I'm not even smart enough to remember things. But I know when the Holy Ghost wants something, I know when it's Him. May God help us. They're more wanting to conform to the world instead of conforming to God. It isn't long until you see them stop doing things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitudes, their behavior. They get lax. Yeah. That is what Ephesus means, relaxed. Drifting. When you're drifting, friends, there's no solid ground. There's nothing to hold. You just go with the flow, with the world, and what it has to offer. Drifting. But you're relaxed. No hardships in doing this when you're relaxed. But when you're dying out to Jesus Christ, it's not very easy. Yeah. I'll close here in a minute. Let me finish at least this one. Won't you sisters come up, please, the instruments. The cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall this last move of God in the Spirit when men and women, excuse me, when men and women dressed like Christians, and look how they dress now. I mean, even in the message, they call themselves Christians. They're trying to dress in ways that show their figures. When the Word of God plainly said, he that looketh upon a woman and lust after, have committed adultery already in his heart with her. Oh my, why would a woman, when they're common sense, want a man lusting after her? Well, that's what I got to do to get a boyfriend. That's what I got to get to do to get a husband. If you get one that looks at that and wants you, friends, he's the wrong husband. Yeah. A real man of God will look for character. When men and women dressed like Christians went to church and prayed all night, oh my, took to street corners and weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They weren't ashamed of it. But today, if our buddies were standing by, would we be ashamed of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Huh? Well, maybe the Holy Ghost moved upon your brother, and maybe he laid hands on somebody and they was healed, and your buddies are standing around watching it. Would you be ashamed? Oh. Would you really want to be identified with that? He knows your heart. Yes, he does. Are you ashamed to be identified with people praying in the restaurant? Are you ashamed? The one you said you loved with your lips, and you're ashamed to be sitting beside your brother praying for his meal. Oh my. They left their old dead churches and worshiped in homes or old store buildings. They had reality. That's what I want to say. Reality. Complete reality. But it wasn't too long time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches. They put in a choir instead of singing to God themselves. They put gowns on the choir. They organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. And I hope ain't nobody in here doing that, but people from the very church you left are still doing the same thing. Getting books that ain't fit to read. They let down the bars and goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. Is that why there's no joy? When you worship the Lord. Is that why the Holy Spirit can't deal with your heart and just melt you completely to pieces? You've lost that joy. The freedom of the Spirit was gone. Oh, they kept on with a form. But the fire had died down, and the blackness of ashes is about all that was left. Wow. A few moments ago I mentioned John understood what it was to love God, that great apostle of love. Would certainly see it when the church began to lose that first love of God. So can man see it? Yes, man can see it. When they lose that first love. You can see it. In 1 John 5:3 he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word." One little deviation from that word was a step away from Christ. Amen. How true it is. Yes. Saints, I trust the Holy Ghost has been able to talk to your heart today and cause you to begin to see and go back to really what that first love is all about. Maybe it's not what you think it is. One thing about it, God alone knows what it is. And he's the only one that reveals it, what it is. Amen. May our heart's desire be that he be our first love. And our lives prove it. Yes. Saints, we don't know when the last time we will see each other. Don't know when that time shall be. the time had come never see each other again in this life. It may just be a dead corpse laying in that casket. And the character and the person that was is gone. Now it's just a flesh body laying there. But I trust that as we are still gathered together, and yet breath and air in our lungs and blood flowing through our veins, may you hear what the Spirit saith unto the church today, and what He requires, and what He looks for. Help me, Lord, to be one of them, with you being my first love in this life. As I said, I repeat again in closing, only Jesus Christ can make it real in your heart, to where you will not forget what I have said today. For when He which is the Comforter shall come, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. It still holds true today, friends. It's still His word. Amen. Let us all stand. That little chorus, an old chorus, but how true it is. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Amen. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Precious Lord Jesus, again we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask it again, somehow you'll just make these few words more real in our hearts and our lives, that we'd be able to find and see a picture, Lord, that of what a real Christian is. One that's really, truly your the first love in their life. And Father, I'm sure we all feel like we've come short. I do, Lord. But I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive each one of us, Lord, of anything we fell short of and having this in our life. How true it is we need you, Lord. We know that Satan has formed this civilization all around us that is completely contrary to why we've been sent here for. But Lord, through all that, may we remain true and strong. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Be on fire for you, Lord. The Father, people will see our ambition, our drive for you, our hunger for you. When they see us pass by, they'll have to say, there's a real Christian. There's a real believer. Oh God, and may they see nothing else but Jesus Christ, you Lord living through this tabernacle of flesh. Bless us now, Father, and help us And only you, Lord, know the desire of each heart here today. You know whether this is even longed for in their heart. You know whether they want this with all that's in them. But I'm asking, Lord, today that any of those who don't have that, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, and take their life completely over. That, Lord Jesus, we could win these few little sheep to you. A sheep, Lord, is in love with you. And, Father, they're willing to follow wherever you go. Wherever you lead, Lord, your least whelm would be their greatest command. Grant that, Father. We thank you now for your mercy and grace. Appreciate you, Lord. Love you with all heart. And we're asking again, Lord, that you continue to strengthen Paul's mother. And Lord Jesus, if it be thy great will, Lord, may there be a testimony come forth. Something, Lord, that's seemed to be impossible. But yet, Lord, all things are possible to them that believe. Continue to place in our heart, Lord, trust and believe in your word, Lord. The Father, it is possible. And though it may come to the flesh, may have times that it gets sicker and worse. But Lord, may she realize that, Father, that cancer be leaving her body and trying to get out. Lord, may you bless now. But may it be for your glory and your honor. And somehow, Lord, draw your people closer to you. Grant those things, Father. Bless us now. Continue to be with Brother Geisinger. Oh, God, may you deal with his heart.
Amen.
That, Lord, you are the great physician, the great healer. And, Father, he can be healed. If he'll accept it by faith, something you revealed to him. Just like our sister, Lord. It's something you revealed to him. You reveal to the individual. That's what faith is. And then once it's revealed, nothing can stop it. So, Lord, may you do that work in our hearts and lives and every one of us, that we remain true to your word. May the inspiration strike, Lord. Thy will be done now, Lord, and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You know, I remember being a little, just a young fella, just a young boy, and many times a little song would be sung, and I'd run to the altar and cry out to God, knowing my life was not right with God, but yet something drawing on the inside. And I remember many times I'd run to that altar and nobody else go. There was something on the inside even then, driving, pulling. I didn't care what people thought of me. But people today care so much of what they think or thought of. But friend, when Jesus Christ truly calls on the inside, you lose the sight of everything else. But one day he finally brought me unto him. By grace, the call kept coming forth. And then one day, it finally happened. I thank God for that day. I appreciate him. I love him. So if you ever have a call in your heart to come to Christ, don't push him aside. Don't push him aside. It may be your last chance. Answer the call. It may be your last chance. He He's here today. Yes, He is. If you did want to come today, I'll pray with you. Yes, I'll pray with you. I want to see every one of you saved. I want to see Jesus Christ in your life expressing. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus one more time as to dismiss. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Jesus Christ richly bless you and be with you. You're dismissed. Amen. Yeah. Yes.